And that's the desire of our hearts this morning, the Holy Spirit rain down and bring liberty, amen, into the service this morning. We know that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, amen. And, you know, it's just like that dead stick that they put in the presence of the Lord, and it just couldn't do anything but come back to life, amen. And so that's kind of the way we are, Brother Daniel. You had a worst day of your life, but just put yourself into the presence of the Lord, and you just come alive. That's just all there is to it. And so we just know that that's just our lot in life, just to get into the presence of the Lord and live. So we thank Him for that. Just appreciate everyone being here today. And believe the Lord will speak to our hearts. We just want to just turn our attention to Him now and open our Bibles. We'll start reading Revelation chapter 17. It's good to be with you today. Nothing like the Lord and nothing like family. Nothing like church family.
That's right.
I was listening to Brother Branham. He was talking about Brother Bosworth. And Brother Bosworth is the one that said that fellowship was two fellows in one ship. Amen. And so that's what makes us all what we are as a family. We're all in the same boat. We believe the same message and pushing for the same purpose in life. And that is that this gospel would reign. And so that's what our tie is, and we thank the Lord for doing that. And so we begin reading here Revelation chapter 17, verse 12. It says, "And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. And these have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. And these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for He is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with Him are called and chosen and faithful." And you know the scripture said, many are called and few are chosen. But these are not just called and they're not just chosen.
Amen.
But this is the ones that come with Him, those that are called, chosen, and faithful.
Amen.
Amen. Now let's go to Revelation 19. I read this scripture quite often, but I can't help it because we're living in the hour where the bride of Christ is clothing herself.
Right.
And so it just seems like no matter where you go in the scriptures, just about this one in scriptures like this one come up. So it says, I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude and a voice of many waters, and as the voice of the mighty thundering, saying, "Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Amen. He does.
Yes.
"Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Amen. "And He saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God." And let's bow our hearts to Him now. Oh, Lord, as we come to You this morning, just believing in our hearts, Lord, that Your presence is among us, and God, knowing that You would just come and break the bread of life to us today, we just thank You, Lord, for everything that You've done in our lives to bring us to this place where we are in Revelation, to give us a place that we can come and worship You, and those of like precious faith, well, those that we refer to as our church family, Lord, we thank You for them, and we thank You for bringing us together, Lord, and just causing us to enjoy one another's fellowship and allowing us to walk this earth together. And we're asking, God, today that You would come down and that You would perfect us, move us closer to the things that You would want us to be. Lord, that You would have glory among Your people. And God, that everything that You purchased for on Calvary, Lord, that would be resident among this group of believers today. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. So, just a brief rehearsing of some things I've mentioned here recently anyway, but we read here in Revelation chapter 19, the scripture says for us to rejoice and be glad because the marriage of the Lamb has come. And certainly, I hope and trust and believe that we are rejoicing, but it's to rejoice because the marriage of the Lamb has come, because this great event that God set out to do is actually coming to pass. And so the scriptures showed us, therefore, we know that it says that he would present to his wife, or bring to his wife, a wife that's without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. And so he will provide that. And so here in this scripture said to give honor and rejoice. In other words, he has accomplished this. He went out into the earth and he went to do everything that needed to be done to provide for himself and his wife. And at this point in the scriptures there, it's actually happened. It's actually come to the place where now this marriage has come. In other words, he went out and he was successful. He was able to go out. He was able to find a wife. Because like I said here a while back, which one of us would say, I'll be her. I'll be the wife to him. None of us would say that. And which one of us would say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll go find her for him. Or I'll go out and I'll make one for him. I'll try to convince somebody to be. And who would do that? Who could? Nobody could. So if there was going to be a bride, it'd be because he'd go out there and make it happen. And that's why the scripture said he's going to do it. Yeah. So you realize you and I have nothing, you know, we can't just make ourselves this, right? If we are the bride of Christ, it's because he went out into the earth and he accomplished the things to do it. And those things fell on you and it changed your life and made you such that you, here you are.
Yeah.
Right? Here you are believing and fitting to the characteristics of what this wife or this bride should be. And so the scripture said for us to be rejoicing because this has happened. He's found this wife, and not only did he find one, but she's actually worthy. She's actually made herself ready. I mean, she's a fitting person, and her apparel was fitting for this marriage.
Right.
She, in other words, it's not a mismatch.
Right.
Right. I'm a firm believer that a person, when they seek out a mate in life, it ought to be somebody that's in their own class. Because you take somebody that's way down here and somebody that's way up here in the class of life, they're not going to work. See? And so, but he's going to find someone, him being the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he's going to find someone who is fitting to be the Queen of Heaven. And so rejoice because he's actually done this. And we do rejoice because the marriage of the Lamb has come. But with every marriage that ever takes place, there are vows. Right? With every marriage that takes place, when a man and woman get married, there are wedding vows.
Right?
Right? And so it's no difference. It's no different than with this, because there's marriage vows. We find out, and we know this to be so, that marriage is a covenant. It's an agreement between the man and the woman, the male and the female. It's an agreement of them when they come together in marriage. There's promises that are made to each other. And it has to be based upon that. So I had quite a few quotes this morning I'm going to read, so you bear with me. So it's an agreement. And there are promises that have to be made in this agreement. So I'm going to read several quotes out of Marriage of the Lamb and some other messages. But Brother Branham says, in Marriage of the Lamb, he says, there has to be promises made to one another. Like that you make, sweetheart, if you marry me, I promise I'll be loyal and true. I will look upon no other woman, or I'll look upon no other man. And I'll do all that is the duty of a wife. If you have children, it's the duty to be a mother. I'll be a good housekeeper. And all these promises have to be made, or should be, in a correct wedding, right? In a correct way. So Brother Bram's saying that these promises that a man and woman make to each other, if you're going to have the correct wedding, those promises have to be made.
Yeah.
You have to step and say, I agree to do this. So it's a covenant between the man and the woman that if they come together and spend their lives together, there's commitments that they have to each other. And he said, for a correct wedding, those things have to be there. And he said, that's the same thing when you come to Christ. Lord, if you'll receive me into your kingdom, I promise, there you are. Brother Bram says, I'll love you and I'll be true to you and I'll serve you day and night. Brother Bram said, it's too bad we forgot that. I'll serve you day and night. I'll fast. I'll pray. I'll be loyal to you. I'll bring my tithings into the storehouse. I'll pray many times a day. I'll do anything. I'll pledge all my love to you. And that's what you should do, Brother Bram says. That's exactly right? Where you promise that, and it should come from your heart. And if you promise your husband that and not from your heart, and you don't mean it that way, then you're absolutely not living correctly with him. It's kind of a crystallized affair. So Brother Branham is telling us that it should come from your heart. These vows should be truly from your heart. And if you can't make that from your heart, and you did make those vows, but it wasn't from your heart, and you're living with this person, and you're not living from your heart with that person, then it's not real.
Right.
It's not right. It's not the real thing. In other words, it's not fit the pattern that God actually meant for a marriage to be. And so we know that these promises and things have to be made. It takes maturity to be able to carry out these responsibilities. And so, you know, you can't take a little child, a little boy, a little girl. They're not ready, both physically, mentally, spiritually, whatever. They're not ready. It takes a certain maturity level that has to be resident in them, which comes by experiences and by trials and failures and successes. And so they finally reach a place where they've got a maturity level that makes them capable to take on this responsibility, right?
Right.
I'm titling this morning, The Faithful Companion. So they have to have a certain amount of maturity to be able to handle all the things that are going to come if you're going to be married.
Yeah.
Okay? And so we know that that's true. So you could say it this way, that they have to be perfect before they can be married. And what I mean by perfect is that we know the scripture said that for the perfecting of the saints and so forth. And what that really means is that we come to the place where we're complete.
Yeah.
We're complete and ready for whatever it is that God needs us to be, right?
Yeah.
And so when we talk about being perfect, we're talking about having the characteristics and having those experiences and being ready for marriage. You're complete. Because if you're not complete, you got something lacking, then if you are given the responsibilities, you're going to fail. Something's going to fall short in there because you're not ready.
Yeah.
So when we talk about being complete, being perfect, that's what's required for a good marriage, to be able to own up and these responsibilities. So you can see that this natural timing spiritual, that as a church would be ready to be the bride of Jesus Christ, this could only come once she had come to a place in her walk where she was ready, a place where she was perfect.
Right.
And so you see, that's why the scripture said he put in the church the apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers for the perfecting, till we come to the full stature, till we come to that perfect position. And so all that simply means, not sinless perfection, but it means that God would do something to present to himself his wife. He would do something in the church that would bring her along in the experience of the word and believing the word. And as you believe it, it becomes resident in you, begins to live out through you, to bring her to such a place that she's got the character of the word in her that she can marry the Son of God.
Yeah.
That's what it's talking about. Will she make mistakes? Sure, but you see, there's something down inside us that never has sinned, right? Cannot sin. And that's the thing that he's bringing on the outside. Whenever we believe the word and this experience brings us further in Christ, that's what's happening. That real you is now becoming more of what you express rather than less.
Right.
So it's talking about bringing us to a place of perfection. So you see that to become the bride of Jesus Christ, it could have never happened in previous ages. It could only happen after the seventh church age, right? Because it couldn't have happened in Luther's day, couldn't happen in Wesley's day, couldn't happen in the days of Pentecost, couldn't even happen in the days when Brother Branham was here, right? Couldn't even then happen. But it's after all these things that God is doing in the church is actually now begins to settle into the experience of the bride of Jesus Christ, that she's now getting to the place where she can step up there and be that bride and be ready to marry him.
Yeah, yeah.
So the scripture said rejoice, because he's going to have somebody standing by his side that's dressed properly, that's got the character of the word. And she does, because predestinated wise, she came from the same place he did, and she's just as much the word as he is.
Yeah.
Amen. She just has to have to understand that through the teaching and the ministry of the word. She has to come to that realization of who she is, like Jesus did. He had to come to the place where he realized who he was.
That's
right. Right? Come to that place and realize who he was and commit his life to that word of who he was, even to the death of the cross.
Yeah.
that ain't wanting it to make no difference. What's coming, I know who I am. And that's what we have to do. We have to come to that place. So now, couldn't happen until after the church ages come to this place of maturity. So we find out, and we know that to be married, it requires faithfulness too.
Right.
And no doubt he is faithful. Even there at the Laodicean age, he says he's the faithful and true witness. He come to show himself with those attributes in this hour, and that's what he's doing. He's showing, coming to show that he's going to do exactly what he said he was going to do. But he has to be faithful, but so does she have to be faithful.
Right.
Now, faithful to what? Faithful to the responsibilities of what this covenant is. And so, in other words, like when Brother Ram was talking to the young couple, you know, and he come up and his headlights was held on by baling wire and so forth, and he's, and Brother Ram said he, you know, and I think this is probably what a minister should do, but he's like, well, what are you going to do? He told the young man, he said, well, what are you going to do when times get hard? Are you going to, you know, or ask her, are you going to run back to mama? He said, no, we'll stick together. You know, Brother Branham was kind of probing to see, hey, do they really have what it takes to stick together? And after he realized they did, he said, I think he said he felt little. He realized that they really had it.
Yeah.
My goodness. When they really got it. Do you know what you've got when you really got it? When a husband and wife really have what it takes? Oh, my goodness. Nothing can separate that. What God brings together, no man can set apart, right?
Right.
See? And so he realized they really had it. And he goes on to tell about it later on. They living down by the down there in an old train car, I think it was. And he goes down there to check up on them, and they got it.
Yeah.
Sometime later, they still had it.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? But that, he talked about the other couple, and they didn't have it, though they were rich and lived in a mansion. They didn't have it.
Right.
See, so to be rich in character is that's it, and this other stuff's a bunch of nonsense. Right, so don't look for the beauty and the riches and the fancy car and all that. Look for the character of the heart. That's the thing that will get you all the way to the end of the road, not this other stuff.
Yeah.
Well, God's looking for the same thing. See, the scripture says that and Brother Graham talked about this, that a good woman is a jewel in his crown, but if she's a bad woman, it's water in his blood.
Yeah.
Water down his lifeline. See? So God's not going to look for somebody going to water down his lifeline, compromise the gospel. He's not looking for somebody like that.
No.
But he's looking for somebody that will keep that bloodline strong.
Yeah.
Amen?
Right.
And so we know that's what he's looking for. So he has to be faithful to the marriage vows, and she has to be faithful to the marriage vows. Now, you find out in the scriptures, You can read this in Exodus 21, and there in that place in the scriptures it talks about if a man espouses a woman to himself or espouses this woman to his son, that if he decides he don't want her, he can't just, and he goes and finds another wife, he can't put her away and just, but he has to continue to provide for her like he would if he had wanted to stay with her. And so you'll see that there. And what that's showing you is that what the man, the husband's responsibility is over the wife is that he has to provide for her her food and her raiment and duty of marriage.
Yeah.
And you'll find that there in Exodus chapter 21. And so you see the husband is required to do that. It's part of his covenant. When he says, I'll do this and I'll take you, what he's saying is, I will provide for you. I'll provide food for you. I'll provide for a shelter and clothing. And I went out and actually looked at some Jewish weddings, and lo and behold, what do they talk about? Provide food and a place for her to live. See? It talks about these things because this is true. And so he has to provide food and raiment and the duty of marriage. And so, the food, obviously we know what that is. The raiment, we know what that is. But duty of marriage is not just the physical coming together that a man and woman might do, but it's also the emotional. It's to support one another in a mental status and all that kind of stuff. The duties that are there besides just the clothing and just beside, because you can provide clothing and you can provide a plan and not have a relationship. See? But so he's saying you cannot, and scripturally in the Old Testament, this man could not He could not slack in these areas. He had to provide these things, even if he was allowed to go marry another woman. He had to because of the agreement that he had in the first place to betroth her to himself or to his son.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
So God lives by his own words. Once he takes someone and he says, I've espoused you to myself, then he's responsible. He's responsible to provide for you food, clothing, and duty of marriage. And so, you know, my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, had provided for my wife every meal that she's ever had, physically. All her clothing, everything, every time she had a joyful experience in her life, it's all come from him, but he expresses that through me and through the people around her and so forth, but you understand. But on a spiritual sense, Jesus Christ is responsible to provide for you food, clothing, and raiment.
Yeah.
Right? Raiment and duty of marriage. And so you find out when we look at this and we talk about this, he's responsible to provide for you your daily bread. Right?
Right, right.
He's responsible in his relationship to his bride. He is responsible to provide for you an experience in the Word so that you could sit down every day and you could feast upon his Word and that Word give you strength and give you strength to go on.
Amen.
He's responsible to provide for that, and you've got a right. You've got a right every morning to get up out of the bed or whatever time it is you choose. You've got a right to sit down to the Bible and to read and say to him, I am here to eat today that which you have provided for me. And he provides it because he's a faithful and true witness. He provides those things, and he'll set a preacher and pastor before you, or ministry before you, and what he gives you, that's what you're supposed to eat.
Right.
And when you sit down to the scriptures and you read, and inspiration jumps off of the pages into your heart, that's what you eat. Because
yeah.
He's providing for you. So you have that right. You get in a place in your walk where things are kind of down in the mud grubs. Sit down with him before him in faith and say, I'm here today to receive strength to go on as you feed me my daily bread. Because he has that responsibility to feed you. He has the responsibility to provide clothing for you, your apparel.
Right?
Right? He's got that responsibility, and remember, the apparel that you wear, that's what everybody else sees. That's what covers your nakedness, and that's what everybody else sees. And so your responsibility, Brother Daniel said, Lord, if there's anything that we're not letting go of, let's let go of it, okay? He is to provide you your clothing, and that means when he gives you a red dress, you wear a red dress. You don't have an opinion saying, I want a white dress today. No, he provided a red dress, and you wear the red dress, right? So he provides you clothing, and we know from the scriptures the clothing that he provides is righteousness to you. It's white apparel. I'm using that example colors, but you understand. He gives to you what you are to wear. He is the one that describes what you should look like to other people when they look at you.
Right.
Not you.
Right.
Not your opinion. Right? You're not to live what you think Christianity ought to live like,
right.
But you're to live what he clothes you with. And he's responsible and faithful. He's got it right there for you to put on.
Yeah.
But you see, just like the food, he can provide the food, but you got to eat it.
Yeah.
He can provide the raiment, but you've got to put it on.
Mm-hmm.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
So he provides that for people to see what your experiences are, and that's what you're to express, is what he's provided.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
You find in the scriptures said, well, in that day, several take hold of one man and they want to, you know, wear his apparel and want to be called by his name, but they just want to do their own thing or whatever. I forget exactly the quote how it is, but you're familiar with it. We've talked about it many times in the past. So you see that. So he's responsible to provide the raiment for you. Well, he's also responsible to provide the duty of marriage. And so I'll cover it this way to say this, that you have a right to an intimate spiritual walk, a spiritual relationship with him. You have a right to that. He's responsible to make sure that you can have an intimate moments with him, a time where he puts himself inside of you and that you now are impregnated by him. He's responsible to do that, and he can't slack on it.
Right?
He's responsible. And therefore, just you could be like Tamar. You can say, that seat belongs to me, and whatever I got to do, I want to get it. So in your walk, you can come before him and say, God, I'm here. And I don't want to just have your food that I can, my daily bread. And I don't want to just have an apparel and live a certain way. But I want an intimate, close walk with you where you come into my heart and you change me from within the inside. And I begin to express that I'm bearing your children. You have that you have that right. And if your heart is right with God, you crave that. You want to birth that child for him. Amen. You want him to change you. And you're willing to take all those things that comes with that. See what I'm saying?
Amen.
You want that. If your heart's right. If your marriage is right from the heart, you agreed up front, I want this.
Yeah.
If it's a real marriage, if it's the right kind. So he's responsible to provide those things for you. Now listen, you can have all the food from his table you want to and you ain't going to bear no children. And you can put all the clothing on, look just right, walk just right, and still not bear no children. See what I'm saying? But that intimate side, that's where that birthing comes for. So you see, you can have the food and you can have the raiment, but if you miss the other part, are you really his wife? See what I mean? See, you got to come, because remember the scripture said you're a helpmate,
yeah.
Right? She is the best thing that he could ever have. Brother Bram said, you know, that a good wife is the best thing that a man could ever have,
right?
Other than salvation, was a good wife. Bad one was water in his blood. And you translate natural typing spiritual, then you realize that Jesus Christ has to have a wife.
Yeah.
And he needed it. And since he's not in need of salvation like we are, then you could say the best thing that he could be given would be a good wife.
Right?
Right? So he's got to have one. And so God can do whatever he wants, but in his programming, he limited himself in the male attribute to be able to say, I cannot reproduce myself until I have a faithful wife. A bride who I can reproduce myself through.
Right.
He just can't do it.
Right.
So he's going to provide one and get it done. We know he's doing that. And so she's his helpmeet. So I talked about his responsibilities. He's responsible to provide for you food and clothing and duty of marriage. To provide for you that intimate time and that walk with him where he produces and reproduces himself in you. So now, what's her responsibilities? Well, it's her responsibilities to eat that food that he provides. It's her responsibility to put on that clothing. It's her responsibility to allow him to overshadow her.
Yeah.
And so it's her responsibility to do that. To allow that, and of course, when doing that, then she will become impregnated by him, and therefore she must bear his children. And so her responsibility, being the keeper of the home and so forth, is she's going to bear these children, is to raise up these children. Now think about it, us as a church, the bride of Jesus Christ, that we have converts and births in the midst of us, that we're responsible to raise them and tutor them and train them and bring them up as a church, these young people and so forth, to watch over them and bring them up in the admonition of God. But she has to do that. She's responsible to do that. Because, see, that's the way he furthers himself. That's the way he reproduces himself, because he cannot do that without her.
Right.
So then that aspect, there she is. She's that helpmeet. Helps him get something done that he couldn't do without her, because he made his plan to be that way. And why did he do that?
Mm-hmm.
He made it that way because he loved you and wants you to enjoy the position of standing by his side, joint heirs of life.
Yeah, right.
Amen. So she's his helpmeet. Now, what happens if she makes all these vows and those things, and then she refuses him? What if she will eat at the table, eat his food, wear his raiment, but refuses the intimate part? What happens? Well, that's the very thing where it all matters, right? Got a process to come through. All this other has to be there. But it's like justification and sanctification. They ain't no good if you don't ever come to that baptism.
Right.
See? So it's got to be where the life comes in.
Yeah.
So what if she refuses him? He has a right to put her away.
Mm-hmm.
You say, is that right, Brother Tony? Yep, it is.
Yeah.
I'll read it to you. Marriage and divorce. Brother Branham says, notice he can put her away, but she cannot put him away. Right. He did it. He proved it in the days of Luther and Wesley and Pentecost when they refused to become the further part of him by having spiritual sexual affairs to become pregnated with further part of the word. You understand? She refused. The Lutheran church refused for Christ to have any more desire with her. Luther refused it. And let me say this, you're going to call me something anyhow. So is it with every one of them. They fail to take the word. They refuse Christ. And any woman that refuses a man his child has no right to be wife to him. Amen. You remember in the Bible when the king married Esther because the queen refused. He just got him another. And when he said, what happened? She refused to come out with the king to obey him. And the same thing it is when a woman refuses to be wife to her husband.
Right.
Amen?
Amen?
So what if she does all this other part? What if she goes through all the what looks to be good, but she never truly surrenders in every way? Then he'll never be able to reproduce. Then she's not even performing the purpose of what she's supposed to be in marriage.
Amen.
So, is it possible that we in our walk that we can call ourselves message people and even eat message food and even wear and having a message appearance? Is it possible we have all that and yet he's still not able to reproduce himself in us because we haven't surrendered everything? You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
So we got to surrender all.
Yeah.
See? And we've still got people sitting in message churches calling themselves message people, and they don't even eat at his table every day.
Yeah.
They don't even listen to the tapes and read their Bible.
Right.
They don't even put on it. They don't even look like Christians.
Yeah. Right.
See what I'm saying? They're not even doing that part. That's the easiest part, probably. See, but when it gets right down to it, we got to come so united with Christ the Word till his actual life is birthing out of us. And if we've not reached that point, we're not his wife yet.
Right, right.
Amen. See, that sounds like a harsh message, but I, you know, I'm responsible
as a
pastor of this church to tell you. And I don't want to get to the place where we get down to the last minute and find out that we're missing that one last part. See?
Amen.
We want to have that intimate relationship with him and to know. You want to know if a man or woman's actually been together, and she starts changing.
Right.
She starts getting belly pooching out and walking, you know, and you know that it's happened. See? And when that child comes out and he's got curly head hair just like his daddy, you know what happened,
right.
Brother Man. You know. See what I'm saying? There's the proof. It's proof who she's been with because that child is the proof. The gene of that child can prove who the daddy is.
Right.
See what I'm saying? But you can't prove nothing if all she's doing is eating at his table and all she's doing is wearing his raiment.
Yeah.
Can't prove nothing.
Right.
But brother, sister, when that baby comes along, there's your proof. And that's what we gotta have.
Yeah.
Gotta have that. See? He's responsible to provide all those things, but we're responsible to the agreement and everything that goes with that. We're responsible for that. Amen.
Yeah.
We believe that.
Yeah.
He has a right to put her away if she refuses. Because she's not even being wife for him and he can't even reproduce himself if she's not doing that.
Right, right.
Jesus Christ doesn't have to paddle in our boat. He can put us away if we don't let him reproduce himself in us. No matter how much we eat his food and wear his apparel. See? So we don't want to miss that part.
Yeah.
And he's faithful. So he's providing it. If we don't have that, those things should be resonant in our experience. And if those things are not resonant in our experience, it's not his fault.
Yeah, right.
He's doing everything his plan was to do. It's there for us. Amen. She must bear the reproach of this agreement. In other words, when I said, she's the one that changes. It's not convenient in this life to be a Christian.
Right.
I hope you understand what I'm saying. Let me explain it. And I'll go back to the natural time. For a woman, if she wants to do her thing, run and go however she wants to, it's not convenient for her to be that. It's not convenient for her to be married if she wants to be that. If she wants to run whenever she wants to run, go wherever she wants to go, do whatever she wants to do, have her own will and her own life, then she better not get married, because married, being married, is not convenient for that.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not convenient. And when she wants to do whatever, but she can't because now she'd walk on this baby pooching out. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not convenient. She can't be what she wants to be if she's going to be married.
Right?
If she's going to go all the way. And I see Brother Graham's hitting at this. It's all through the whole message is about this kind of thing.
Yeah.
See? Because she's got a desire to be mama, but she don't want to have children, so she'll take birth control and do all those things to keep from having a child, and then go get her a little old dog and treat that dog like a baby.
Right?
And it's perverted. Perverted to do that. A gift of God that's put in a woman's life to be one of the most powerful things that God ever put on the earth, the backbone of every nation, and she wants to stick it over to the side and give that love to a dog or something. Now think about it. She ain't even being wife.
Yeah.
He ain't reproducing herself through the love she give that dog.
Right.
And you can give your love to all kinds of other things and even make it look like it's Christ your servant, and he's not producing nothing of himself, because it's something different.
Right.
See what I'm saying? You got a desire in your heart to serve him. You got a desire in your heart to let him overshadow you and birth his children. But don't push that to the side and let something else be in the way.
Amen.
And let that be what takes your time and your devotion and all the love that you should be giving to him and to his children that's being birthed through your life. You give it to something else.
Right.
And brother, sister, don't take it lightly. Don't take it lightly in our own lives, in our own walk, to say, well, that's not why I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. Examine yourself.
Yeah.
And make sure that he's number one. Yeah. If I found out that I wasn't number one with my wife, I'd be offended. Mm-hmm. And there are times when things come along that I wonder sometimes. I'll tell you that, right? But there's times, and I'm saying that because I figure all of us could say that. Because life has its way of robbing those things that should be there in a marriage.
Yeah.
All kinds of things come up, and it just robs you of your experience. Remember the seed, some fall on different grounds and whatever, and the thorns rose up and choked it. It was the cares of this life,
right,
and deceitfulness of riches could get and choke it. The cares of life can choke out a marriage, a perfectly good marriage, and starve them to death because they don't have time for that third part, that intimate part. See? He still brings home the bacon. She still spins it. He brings home the food. Or she does. She goes and buys it. But he brings home the money, and she eats, and he eats, and she wears his apparel that he buys. But they don't ever have any intimate. Because they're too busy raising kids and too much doing this and too much doing that.
Right.
Don't ever come to that, saints.
Right.
We're commanded by scriptures to defraud not one another.
Right?
Right? How often? However often you have to do it to keep Satan from coming to tempt.
Right?
How often do you have to have that intimate prayer life with Christ? Whatever you got to do to keep the devil out of your garden.
Amen.
Right? That's what you do. It's different from different people. We go through cycles of life. Sometimes it's this way and sometimes another. But in all cycles of life, make sure that you keep that intimacy there between you and Christ.
Right.
Make sure that you keep living that life and it's producing a change in you continually.
Amen.
Right? You'll find out when a woman's pregnant, her immune system goes through the roof. Right? Her ability to fight off evil things. Why? Because she's birthing children for the King.
Right.
See what I'm saying? You stay close to Christ, and the devil, he gets whooped way more times than any other way.
Yeah, right.
See? If you stay intimate with him. Amen. So she has to bear the reproach that comes with that. And she's, it's not convenient in this life because she's having to do, because now she's devoted to something else. She's devoted to man, so she can't just live the way she wants. It's like it says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. He says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the Spirit lusts against the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Right?
Right.
If you're going to follow after Christ, you've got to follow after Him, and you got something else that wants to keep you from it. Because they're in enmity with each other. And if you're serving this other one, see, then you can't be why he wants to be over here for Christ, because they're against each other. Mm-hmm. See what I mean?
Yeah.
And so she can't do what she would want to do, because now she serves him. Now, what am I saying? We as believers, if we're still walking without a new regeneration, if we're not born again, if we don't have a different desire in our heart, our desires for Christ, right? Well, then that's what's happening. We want to bear his reproach. That means that we've got to say no to the flesh, and we've got to live for him.
Right.
Amen. So we find out that these responsibilities there are there, and she cannot do this that I've described with any other man. No other man. Total, complete devotion to one in every way. She can't do that with any other man. Brother Graham says in Marriage of the Lamb, he says, "But now what if this woman gets married and she takes all these vows and everything and she becomes this," he says, he got his tongue tied, he said, "becomes this man's husband. And she's heir to all he's got and so forth. And then she goes wild, starts off on some tantrum. She starts running after other men. Not only that, but she sharing her love with others, a man and with his wife and all the promises that they've made. And then she goes out, starts sharing her life with others and her love and her affection with others." And he said, that's what too many so-called Christians do. They share their love with the world, playing, dancing, gambling, staying home from prayer meetings to watch television, all kinds of worldly things that took place. That's took the place of the love of God in the church's heart. She's gone on a tantrum. She's got wild. She's gone after other men, sharing her love. She'll take her tithing that she should give to the church, and she'll spend it on other things out there in the world. She, instead of loving God the way she should do, and living for God, and loving to come to church, you almost have to persuade her to come. So you see, he gives an example there. When we're supposed to live for Christ, but we're going to go out and gamble and stay at home from church and not be in service so we can go do something else. Right?
Right.
He said, when you do that, you're flirting and you're running with another man.
Yeah.
You're not running with Christ. Why? Because you're not living for him like you're supposed to.
Right.
You're chasing off after something else. Brother Graham gave the example. He said he went up to this house and knocked on the door, and this gal was inside. She was listening to the radio, dancing around, coming to the door. And what I heard him yesterday, and he said, she forgot that he was even at the door. She was so caught up in what was being played on her radio that she even forgot he was at the door. And I guess, I don't know if he had to knock again, but she got her attention. "Oh, I forgot you was there." And she blew a kiss to the radio, I think is what he said, something like that. And the DJ's like, they were going to have a dance, and she said, "I'll see you down there at the briar patch," or whatever it was, where they was going to have it, okay? And so Brother Brown was telling us, and he said he was talking to a pastor friend of his, and he said, his pastor friend said, "Man," he said, I had to go out and send out these and get these pledges from all the people, and all the people in church go and have them sign a pledge, pledging that they would be in church at least 6 months out of the year, at least half the time, thanks what it was. You don't hold me to the detail, but the gist of what it is, I'm getting, okay? But he said, have to go and get them to sign a pledge, try to persuade them to be at church.
Right.
Something wrong.
Yeah.
Do I have to persuade my wife to spend time with me? Something wrong.
Yeah.
See what I mean? And Brother Graham said, that woman come dance to the door. He said, nobody had to persuade her to be down there at that dance floor that night.
Right, right.
She was happy to go down there. Something's wrong.
Yeah.
If people don't want to come to church, if people don't want to seek after God, right. Something's wrong.
Yeah.
See what I mean? She's doing it with some other. She's out there running after some other man and giving her love that should be going to Christ. She's giving it to someone else. What Brother Adam said.
Right.
You find out that when she gets married, and I'm going to tell you something. When you look at whatever, I'm talking about church, Christ in the church, and it really natural type spiritual, but this world is so perverted that people don't even respect the relationship between a man and a woman, what it really consists of. In the natural, biblically speaking, a woman's totally, completely undone if she doesn't have a husband. If she's out from underneath her father's house and she don't have a husband, she's in bad. And many cultures, I mean, Brother Ram talks about it. She's an outcast if she's not married by a certain age.
Yeah.
Because she, in scripture, Bible scripture, she's to be under her dad's house until she's married. And if something happened and that don't, she can go back to her dad. But under no case is she supposed to be out there by herself. And the only cases you know of is a widow.
Right.
And the church addresses that.
Yeah.
Right. Right? But our modern world, she can be CEOs of a company.
Right. Yeah.
Nonsense. I realize that being on tape is somebody the right kind of person. But listen, it's the gospel, and we're talking about trying to get people in the right place with God so they can benefit from the blessings of God like he wanted.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. And so you find out that whenever she marries him, the benefits that now comes to her. I mean, look at us, sinners, hell bound. But then through marriage, look what we get. Not just his companionship. We begin to take his name. We get to have his name.
Yep.
She takes his name, Brother Bram says, but you see, first there's a decision, then there's next engagement, then a promise, and then the ceremony. And that's when the bride takes the bridegroom's name. She's no more her own name. She takes the bridegroom's name. And then when the church has a ceremony and makes their promise, and then she takes the bridegroom's name, and she's no longer the church of the world. She's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. See? Scripture said, let everybody that names the name of Jesus Christ, right, depart from iniquity. Just to even say that name, if you're going to use that name, depart from iniquity. See what I mean? Holy angels in his presence, they had to cover their eyes. See, we've lost the feeling of what this is, who this is we're marrying.
Yeah.
We've got to gain that sanctity back and get to that place where we hold him in high regard and realize that the honor it is for us that through his word he's chosen us to stand by his side and be called Miss Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And I'd say that if we don't fully understand that or don't have that reverence, then we're probably not in that position. But we got to understand those things. Maybe we are, just don't understand it, but we will before we're body changed.
Amen.
Believe that through the teaching and preaching of his word, that we'll know these things and have the right proper respect for it. And so she takes on his name and she now becomes Miss Jesus Christ. And see, when the seals become to be opened, this is the cycle of when this thing, I said it couldn't take place till after the seven church ages. Now we come into a cycle where now there can be a bride being made ready. And Brother Bam comes along and in the seals he says, I'm going to call you bride so that you'll understand.
Yeah.
See? In the cycle, bringing a people to a place where they can meet this challenge, be this bride. So she takes his name and then you find out that she becomes heir to everything that he has. Amen. He says that another thing after she does, after she fulfills her vow and took her marriage and took her husband's name to be bridegroom's name, and she's heir of everything that he possesses. She's an heir of everything. Your wife is heir of everything you possess. And that's the thing that the church is, if she only knew it. Being part of him with his spirit in her. He said, the works that I do, shall you do greater works than these? For I go to my Father. A little while, and the world see me no, but you shall see me because I'll be with you and even in you unto the end of the world, then it's Christ in you and you're connected and you are heirs with him. Think about it. What did he do? What was he able to be and do with as who he was? Then that's what you can be. Brother Brown goes on to say, and if he was here on earth, what would he be doing? The same thing he did, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he'd be mindful of the Father's business. He'd be healing the sick. He'd be performing miracles. He's doing just exactly, he'd be doing just exactly what he did then when he was on earth, because he remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's just perfect. That's the marriage.
Right.
So here's the thing. If you're Miss Jesus Christ, that's the marriage. Then everything he has in his arsenal, of everything that he owned, everything that was his possession, now you have access to all that too. So if he could heal the sick, so can you. If he could raise the dead, so can you. If he can cast out devils, so can you. Because you're heir to everything he is. Everything he has, you can be. I'll tell you something. The scriptures didn't say Jesus prayed for them and then the Father healed them. You understand what I'm saying? The scripture said he healed the sick. He raised the dead.
Right.
Because when he was obedient to the Father and was one with the Father, he and the Father were one, and it was perfectly fine for that mind to be in him, to know that he was equal to God, and it's not robbery for him to say and for the scripture to say he healed the sick. He raised the dead. He cast out devils. And so people come along, and I remember when praying for that woman in the hospital that was dying, and God raised her up, and somebody made fun and said, yeah, Tony went over and healed him. And another guy said, he didn't heal nobody. But I beg to differ. If my revelation is right, that I am one with Jesus Christ, I'm his wife, I'm heir to everything he is, and I'm one with him such that when you see me, you've seen him,
yeah, right.
Then there's nothing wrong with saying that he healed somebody. And I'm not looking for take no glory, but I'm trying to get you to understand the oneness between the bride and Christ. She heals the sick. She raises the dead. She casts out devils. She does these things because she is equal heir with him. And we just read it. Brother Ram gave that example. When she is heir to those things, what did he do? And he said, I do these and you'll do it too. See what I'm saying? This is our purpose on life, in life, to live these things out of his, to make a difference, to stir up things. Cause theological fusses if you have to. But whatever you do, make sure you're living Christ when you do it.
Right.
See? Amen. Yeah. Brother Brown goes on to say, at the end of this sermon, he's doing an altar call, and he said, there may be some here tonight who's never made this pledge or that pledge. And there may be some here that's broken. And if you're in that condition, tonight, then why don't you just come back tonight and renew your pledge? If you haven't made it, why don't you come and make it tonight and say, Lord Jesus, I love you. He said, remember, if you have already made your pledge and still mingling in the things of the world, Jesus will not have a bride like that. He will not have one that's an adulteress. All your love must be to him. And if you love the things of the world and the fashions of this world better than you love God, then you've not made yourself ready. Now think of it. The bride has made herself ready. And he tied it right there. And he said right there, if you love the things of the world more than you love God, you're not made ready. You don't even have that garment on. Not even that. Amen. He said, now be honest with yourself. Look back at your life. And I'm asking you to do this today. Look back at your life. You have to look back before you can go forward. Look at what you've been. Look what the Spirit that you've got has made you do. If you proclaim to be a Christian and still mingle with the things of the world, brother, sister, how can you be but blind if you don't see that that's wrong? Amen. Look back in your life and look that Spirit. So we're all here and say, oh, I have the Holy Spirit in my life. Okay? I believe that. But he said, look at your life. And that Spirit that's in you, look at what it's had you do. Is it Christ? Think about it. If it's led you to do things contrary to the Word, it can't be Christ. See, that's what he's saying. And he's saying that if we call ourselves Christians, and that's the condition we're in, and we don't think there's anything wrong with it, we're blind. Right? We are blind. But I know we're not. As believers of this message, I know that we know. We may not be fully tallied up to everything we know is right, but we have a desire to be. Yep. And so we're on our road. But if you're sitting there and saying, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. I can smoke. I can drink. I can look at filthy jokes and laugh about them or something like that. If you're like that, calling yourself a believer of the entire message, and you think nothing's wrong with that, you're blind, miserable, wretched, and naked. See? Almost done. Got 2 or 3 more quotes. So when we truly are married to him, we'll do whatever he asks. And the God of this evil age, Brother Branham prays at the end. Beautiful prayer. He said, dear God, the pool is ready. Now speak to our hearts, Lord. May they hear Christ, the Word, calling them and go with him all the way. I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him to the pool. I'll take on his name. I want to be one of those he's calling for his name. I'll believe his word. I'll follow. I'll never flirt with the world. I'll be true. I'll be a true espoused bride. I'll not leave off one iota of his word. Every request, I'll be real true bride. Everything he requests me to do, I will do. If my coming husband wants me to let my hair grow, I'll do it. If he wants me to take off his makeup, I'll do it. If he tells me it's an evil spirit and the evil one I'm flirting with these sexy looking clothes, then I'll do it. I'll take them off. I don't care what anybody else says. I'll take them off. If he wants me to come out of that group that I'm with the unbelievers, I'll do it. Though I make my bread or whatever it is, he promised me he'd never leave me or forsake me. I'll do it. I'll go with him all the way. If he wants me to be baptized in his name, I'll do it. And Lord, you promised in your word here that that's what you wanted. Now may every person see it, Lord. Sweetly and humbly bow to it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Beautiful prayer. Beautiful prayer showing how we, whatever he asks in his word, we'll do it happily. Nobody's going to have to persuade us.
Right?
Nobody has to persuade us. Now I realize this is why we preach. This is why you come here, because it's just the way it is. We need encouragement. We need, you know, someone to encourage us on and give us a jump charge sometimes to remember that we've got vows to hold to. See? And that's what it's for. In the third seal, Brother Graham says, Christ wants his wife pure with the word, the way she must be. Because nothing, no, not one jot, one jill or tittle will pass from the law, from the book till it's fulfilled. And Jesus said, both heavens and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Don't put in private interpretation. He wants the pure, unadulterated, not even a flirt. I don't want my wife flirting with some other man. And when you go to listen to any kind of reasoning beyond that, you're listening and flirting with Satan. Amen. He said, don't that make you feel religious? God wants you to stay unadulterated. Stay right there with that word. Stay right with it. All right. So when we start listening to another thought contrary to the word, now you're flirting with the devil.
Yeah,
right. And I don't want my wife flirting with anybody else.
No.
And I heard it the other day. I don't remember what sermon it was, but Brother Bram said, you're not even to make eyes at another man.
Right.
Or vice versa.
Right.
Let me tell you something. Satan's got traps out there for you brothers and you sisters. And I'll just give you an example for me. If I know there's a woman at work that's interested in trying to use her, I won't go get coffee if she's at the coffee pot.
Right.
I see her coming, I'll go the other way. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
But you can say, well, you know, there's nothing wrong. She's just a co-worker. I'll go talk to her. Listen, if you know that something's there, you better run from it.
Amen.
See? You got to watch over your garden to keep them critters out.
Right.
And you are responsible, see? Satan's got trapped, and we are here to fight. We're here to fight for what's right and righteousness, and to hold a standard in our lives, in our homes, and in our church, regardless of what the world says. We'll do it, Lord. If you say, we'll do it. If you say through your prophet, and it agrees with the continuity of the word that a woman should wear high heels because of what it makes her look like, then Lord, I'll take them off. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If he says don't cut your hair, I'm not going to cut my hair if I was a sister. Right? Man to be man, woman to be woman, we're going to be that way.
Yeah.
And let the whole world mix and mingle and let them fall to such a place where you can't tell a man from a woman apart. Let that happen if they want to, but not in the midst of the bride of Jesus Christ. Men will be men and women will be women, and we'll look and act like we're supposed to.
Right.
Even if it costs us our lives, because the world hates us so much. Let it be. Will come up on the other side with righteousness.
Amen.
You stand for what's right. Brother Bram says in Jehovah Jireh, he said, when God called Abraham, or when God made Abraham a covenant with Abraham, remember it was unconditional. And God called you, not because you was a good person, but because unconditionally he called you by his grace and gave you his Holy Spirit. You were Lutherans or Presbyterians or Catholics, and by his grace he called you and gave you his Spirit. And the only thing you have to do is maintain in Christ, for that's where you in the promised land. You follow the parallel. Abraham, he called him by grace, put him in the promised land. That's where he was to be. And God calls you out of all these places, and he's given you his Spirit. And he said, stay in Christ. Right? That's what he's saying. In the promised land. And all that's in Jesus is safe. And as long as you remain in this tower of refuge in Christ, then you are safe from the things of the world. But when you go to looking outside and flirting with the world, then the first thing you know, you begin to walk out of Christ. See what he's saying? He said, now you haven't, he says, now you still have the covenant, but you've lost your blessing. So Abraham got out of Christ. He got out of his promised land, and he got in trouble. He still had the covenant,
yeah. But
he just wasn't able to walk in the full blessings because he got out of Christ, out of the covenant. And Brother Bram was saying the same thing. He's done this for you, and all you've really got to do is just make sure you stay in the promised land. Stay in Jesus Christ. Amen. Just stay right there. I illustrated this before with Brother Daniel. If the idea was just to stay within 2 feet, no matter where you go, just follow him. And if he takes you somewhere else, then you go with him. If he brings you back, then you come back with him. See what I'm saying? You got to stay with him and be that faithful companion to Jesus Christ. You believe it. So if you're like everybody else, you probably say, Lord, I believe what Brother Tony said today. I believe it comes right from the word. It's the scriptures. And I believe it's very pertinent to what we're up against every day. God, help me stay clean.
Right.
Help me stay unspotted from this world. And you know what? There's days when we fail miserably. But that's what we're here for. That's what the grace of God is here for. That's what we're here to encourage and to grasp hold of the truth and say, God, I'm renewing myself again today. That I'm going to leave here and I'm headed into this week to go into this following week coming up, and I'm heading out there strong in faith, believing your word, and I endeavor to go out there and keep myself unspotted from the world. I'm going out there, and I'm going to do whatever you ask me to do, Lord. I'm going to spend that quality time with you. I'm not just going to eat your bread. I'm not just going to wear your clothing, but I'm going to spend intimate time with you, right?
Yeah.
And to say, Lord, I'm sorry that I've let things rise up in my life that has caused me to not have such a fervent desire to birth your life in my experience. I'm sorry. Can you say that right now?
Amen.
Say, Lord, help me.
Yes.
Amen. This is where I'd give an altar call, but that's my version of an altar call. Just give you the word and tell you, if this is right where you're at, then just say, Lord, I raise my hand and my heart, whatever. I say, God, help me. I want to come clean. I don't want to stand there on that day and have things hang on me.
Amen.
That's not right.
Right.
The grace is present, but there's the thing, and it is, you've got to make your choice. I'm going to stay with him. I got to be with him, and I got to say no to these other things and fight those other things, because they are an assault on you.
Amen.
We are living in Satan's kingdom. In his Eden right now. It's fallen. It's crumbling. It's like everything he's ever touched. But right now, we're in the midst of his soldiers.
Yeah.
Right? They're all around doing what they want. But Christ said, he promised in his word, he would prepare a table for us in the presence of our enemies. They can't stop him from feeding you. They can't stop him from clothing you. And they can't stop him from reproducing himself in you. But you know who can? You could stop him from doing that. You could stop him from providing you daily bread, raiment, and duty of marriage.
Yep.
All the armies of the devil can't stop it as long as you want it. But you can stop it. Amen.
Right.
God bless you. Let's let the musicians come. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord with you. You know, a farmer, he likes to plant seed. A preacher likes to preach the gospel. Even though we run from it, we're nervous, we don't want to do it, but when it all gets right down to it, you step into the gift, you love to share the word of God because you know it's the words of life.
Amen.
Amen. And so we thank the Lord for it. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts to him as Brother Tim gets a song ready. Our gracious Heavenly Father, you've been good to us this morning, Lord, just to allow us to sit in heavenly places and in the word in Christ Jesus. And I'm asking God that you would just touch every heart, every life as we go from this place today, Lord, that we would be reconsecrated to the things that have been spoken this morning. God, that we would go into this world and have a renewed vow, Lord, that we would just be able to stand that much stronger against the enemy and the things that he would try to put upon us. I ask God that you just help each one go with each person, Lord, and may their prayer life and their experience with you be enhanced. We ask God that you just be with us as we go this week. Keep us safe. And Lord, this virus has been going around. I'm asking God that you would stop it in the name of Jesus Christ. Hold it right where it's at and make it go away. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Touch every life, everyone that needs healing in their bodies. We ask God that you be with them in every way. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do you love it?
Amen.
Amen. Do you love his word? Good. Let's all stand. Tell him you love him.
Jesus, draw me close. Oh, yes, closer, Lord, to you. Oh, let the world around me fade away. And Jesus, draw close. Yes, closer, Lord, to you.
many want to be Christ?
Amen.
You know, Jesus Christ is the Word. That's one thing that the church world today, modern church world today, has missed. They talk about Jesus, they talk about the man 2,000 years ago, but I never heard them talk to, about him being the Word.
Amen.
So he is the Word. And you know, you are what you eat.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, if you eat junk food, you're going to turn into mush. But if you eat good, healthy food, you'll be healthy.
Yeah.
Now, but you know what? It don't happen overnight. It takes a while.
Yeah.
Either eating bad food or good food, it takes a while. But all of a sudden, one day, as though you didn't know what was going on, you look in the mirror and you realize these effects have taken place, whether it's good or bad. And that's the way it is in your walk. You may not sense it when you sit down to read your Bible and pray and have that intimate time. You may not sense it right at that moment. But if you keep doing that day in and day out, one day you'll look in the mirror of God's Word and you'll like what you see.
Amen.
You'll like what you see. But if you don't, and you're picking something else up and you're feeding on something else, mark it. The day will rise up. You'll rise up one day and you'll look in the mirror, and you won't like what you see.
That's
the way it is. Amen. It's not for weaklings, by no means.
Yeah.
But the bride of Christ, she's a fit person to be married to Jesus Christ. Amen. Because she'd take that word and beat down every enemy that ever come in front of her, just like he did. Amen. God bless you. You can be dismissed in the name of the Lord. If anybody has any prayer, we certainly want to pray with you. We'll just linger just for a moment as we sing. If you want to come up. Mm-hmm.